to the shadows. Old stories line the shelves of our dusty archives. Stories of dreams, mystery, horror. We would like to bring one of our early radio tales back to life during this half hour. Let's see. Franz Kafka, The Judgment. He wrote it, they say, in one sitting on the night of September 22nd, 1912, between 10 p.m. and 6 o'clock the next morning. In it, he recreates his tyrannical father and himself in hopeless and deadly confrontation. As in all of Kafka's work, it's a nightmare world, but so real. Let's listen.
What can one write to such a man? Dear old friend, it's a Sunday morning in the middle of spring, and I'm sitting in my room on the first floor. As you know, our house is one of a row of houses, each one hardly distinguishable from the others. I've just finished a letter to you, and I'm looking out the window at the river. Ridge, hills on the other side with their tender green. Why did you run away to Russia?
Well, I was dissatisfied with my prospects at home, you know that.
Have things turned out better in St. Petersburg?
Oh, you know that, too. As I told you on my last visit, it's been getting worse and worse.
Well, as I see it, you're wearing yourself out to no purpose in a foreign country. Your beard doesn't really cover the face I once knew. Your skin has grown yellow.
Yes, some disease.
A disease? Oh, the trouble is, you have no connection with your fellow countrymen anymore, and hardly any with the Russians.
Oh, yes, I'm resigned to becoming a permanent bachelor.
Well, I don't for my life know what to write to you. I can't help you, no matter how sorry I feel. Maybe I should advise you to come home again. Take up with your old friends again. Rely on us. God knows there's nothing stopping you.
That, of course, is as good as telling me. There's no way to be nice about it. That all my efforts have failed, miscarried. That I should give up, come home, and be gaped at by everybody. The prodigal son returns. And that only my friends really know what's what. That I'm just a big kid, and I should do what my successful home buddies tell me to.
Well, I suppose there's no telling that all the pain we'd cause you would have any effect.
Not at all, not at all. So why should I?
Chances are we couldn't get you to come home in the first place.
As I said myself, I'm out of touch with everything at home anyway. I'd still be in a foreign land, and with the added bother of all that advice from friends. Now, I know you all mean well, but don't you see it'd make us farther apart than ever?
How do you mean?
Well, suppose I do follow your advice. Come home, and then find I can't get along with anyone. But on the other hand, can't get along without. Well, then what? Well, you can see humiliation. No one could say I have any friends anywhere, or a country, or anything.
Yes, I see that, but I don't...
No, I say it would have been better to have stayed abroad as I had been. And I say this, how could anyone, I mean, taking all this into account, how could anyone really be sure that I would make a success of life at home?
Well, maybe you're right.
Of course I'm right. You just think about it.
Well, see how it is. Even if I want to continue a correspondence, which I do, of course. What real news can I tell him? It's been 3 years since his last visit.
The political situation in Russia has been far too uncertain.
He says the political situation is too uncertain.
Doesn't permit the small businessman like me to go abroad.
Well, it doesn't seem to interfere with hundreds of thousands of other Russians to travel peacefully abroad. He says that's different. Well, then again, my own situation has changed a lot during these 3 years. My mother died 2 years ago, and since then I've shared the house with my father.
Yes, you wrote about that. I expressed my sympathy at the time.
Yes. As I recall, your letter was phrased so dryly. Of course, being so far away, the sadness of such an event can't really be realized.
True. True.
Afterward, I was more determined than ever to make a go of the business, as well as everything else. Well, you see, while my mother was alive, my father always insisted on having his own way in the business. This kept me from getting anywhere on my own.
Mm.
Yes, maybe that's really what it was. After she died, it was different. It was less aggressive. Well, he was still active in the business, of course, and the business improved. Oh, it really improved. And that, of course, might simply have been due to a run of good luck, not because of anything my father did about it. Well, anyway, the business improved in a most unexpected way, and there was no doubt that it would continue to do so.
Well, of course, I knew nothing about all that. You never wrote about the business. In fact, I kept trying to get you to come to Russia to see what you could do there.
It's true. I didn't want to let him know about the business. It would certainly be odd to tell him about it now. Well, it doesn't leave much to write about, except local gossip. I don't want to tell him about Frida. Dear friend, a month ago, I became engaged to Frida Brandenfeld.
Oh?
No, I don't want to tell him about that.
So he won't be coming to our wedding?
I doubt it.
Don't I have a right to get to know all your friends?
I don't want to trouble him. He would probably come if I told him about it. At least I think he would. But he would feel that his hand had been forced, and he'd be annoyed. Maybe he would envy me. Surely he'd be discontent. And then he'd have to go away again without being able to do anything about it. He'd have to go away again alone. Alone. Do you know what that means?
Yes, of course I know what that means. Suppose he hears about the wedding from someone else?
Oh, there's nothing I can do about that, is there? And when you think how he lives, what chance is there anyway?
George, you know, with friends like that, I don't see why you got engaged at all.
Well, We're both to blame for that. I wouldn't change things for the world.
All the same, I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried.
Oh, what's to worry about? What trouble would it be to me if I did send an announcement? That's me, after all. And he'll just have to take me as I am. I can't make myself over just for him. Dear friend, I've saved my best news for the end. I've been engaged to a Fräulein Frida Brandenfeld. She comes from a very well-to-do family. You probably don't know her because she moved here only a long while after you went away. Later, there will be more time to tell you about her. For now, just let me say that I'm very happy, and as far as you and I are concerned, the only change in our relationship is that instead of a very ordinary kind of fellow, your friend is now a very happy fellow. Frida sends warm greetings and will soon write to you herself. In her, you will have acquired a genuine friend of the opposite sex, which is not without importance to a bachelor like yourself. I know there are many reasons why you can't come to see us, but wouldn't my wedding be just the right excuse to put everything else aside? Nevertheless, I want you to do whatever works out best for yourself. Your friend, George. Well, that's that. Who's that passing in the street? Below. I wonder. Waving. Must be someone I know. Oh, yes. Yeah. How dark your room is, Father. Even on a sunny morning like this.
George. Yes, it's dark enough.
Unbearable. And you've shut the window, too.
Yes, I prefer it like that. Will you take some coffee, George?
Oh, no, thanks. I really only want to tell you that I'm sending the news of my engagement to St. Petersburg.
To St. Petersburg?
To my friend there.
Oh, yes. Yes, to your friend there.
Well, you know, I didn't want to tell him at first about the engagement. Mm-hmm. But then, thinking of him, I decided that that was not right. You know yourself how difficult he is. I thought to myself, well, I certainly cannot prevent someone else telling him about it. And that might be the best way, but then he lives to himself so much, it's hardly likely he'd hear about it like that. In any case, I wasn't going to tell him about it myself.
Yes, yes. And now you've changed your mind.
Yes. I've been thinking it over. I said to myself, if he's really a good friend of mine, my being happily engaged should make him happy, too. So I decided not to put off telling him any longer. But before I posted the letter, I wanted to let you know.
George, listen to me. You've come to talk this business over with me, and that certainly does you honor. But it's nothing. It's less than nothing if you don't tell me the whole truth. Now, I don't want to stir up matters that shouldn't be mentioned here. Since the death of your dear mother, certain things have been done that really aren't right. Maybe the time will come for mentioning them, maybe sooner than we think. Many a thing in the business I'm not aware of. Maybe it's not done behind my back. I'm not going to say that it's done behind my back. I'm not quite up to things anymore. My memory isn't what it used to be. I haven't an eye for so many things any longer. In the first place, that's the way it goes. And in the second place, the death of your dear mother hit me harder than it did you. But since we're talking about it, about this letter, I beg you, George, don't deceive me. Do you really have this friend in St. Petersburg?
Father, don't worry about my friends. You know you mean more than 1,000 friends to me. Do you know what I think? I think you're not taking enough care of yourself, and old age must be taken care of. I can't do without you in the business. You know that very well. But if the business is going to cost you your health, I'm ready to close it down tomorrow forever. But even that won't be enough. We're going to make a change in your way of living. A radical change. Yes, we are. Look at you. You sit here in the dark room while there's all that light in the sitting room. You hardly touch your breakfast instead of properly keeping up your health. You sit by a closed window when the air would be so good for you. No, Father. I'm going to get the doctor to come, and we're going to do just what he says. Yes, we'll change your room. You can move into the front room, and I'll move in here. You'll hardly notice the change. All your things will be moved with you. Oh, but that's for later. Right now, I'm going to put you to bed for a while. I know you need the rest. Come here. I'll help you take your things off. You'll see what a help I can be, Father. Or would you rather go into the front room right away? You can lay in my bed for now. Yes. Yes, that's it. That would be the most sensible thing. Father? Father?
George.
Yes, Father.
George, you have no friend in St. Petersburg. You've always been a joker, and now you're trying to kid me. How could you have a friend out there? I don't believe it.
Father, you just don't remember. Just think back a bit. That was about 3 years ago that my friend came to visit us. I remember you didn't like him very much. And I could understand that, what with his peculiarities. More than once I kept you from seeing him. Actually, well, he was here with me in my room. Then later, the two of you got on very well. You listened to him and nodded and asked him questions. You remember that? Yeah. Now, come on, up now.
Look out for the tassel.
Let me get that dressing gown off here.
Yeah, 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 don't you look out for the tassel.
Do you remember the stories he used to tell about the Russian Revolution? About the priest on a balcony who cut a broad cross and blood on the palm of his hand and held it up appealing to the mob? Do you remember that? Sure you do. You've told the story several times yourself since then. Here, now, down again. That's fine. Now, off with these woolen pants. Hey, lift a little. That's it now. Look at that underwear. It's not very clean, is it? Well, it certainly isn't your fault. The least I could do is see that my own father has a clean change of underwear. Well, that's all going to be different after the wedding. You'll live with us, and you're going to be looked after. Now we've got to get you into bed. Come here. Let me lift you. Hold on. Up. That's it. That's it. Now, over we go. Oh, it'll be different then. You're going to be taken care of. Yeah. Now, down on the bed, Father, I can't lay you down if you keep playing with my watch chain like that. Don't hang on to it so tightly. Let it go so I can... That's it. Good. Blankets around you. All right. Pull them up tight around your shoulders. Good. Now you begin to remember my friend, don't you? Remember my friend?
Am I well covered up now? Are my feet tucked in?
Oh, yes, Father. Nice and snug, isn't it? Here, I'll tuck them in more closely for you.
Am I well covered up now?
There's nothing to worry about, Father. You're well covered.
Quite well covered?
Yes, Father. Yes, well covered.
George, do you really think I'm covered well?
Oh, yes.
Well, I'm not! Not by a long shot! Oh, I know you wanted to cover me up, my young sprig. But as you can see, I'm far from being covered up yet. And even if this was the last strength I've got, it's more than enough for you. Of course I know your friend! Do I know your friend? He would have been a son after my own heart. And that's why you have been putting it over on him all these years. Why else?
Dear friend, my father seems to know you.
Do you imagine that I haven't pitied him? You had to lock yourself up in your office. The chief is busy. The chief mustn't be disturbed. Just so you could write your lying little letters to Russia.
Dear friend.
Thank God a father doesn't have to be taught how to see through his son. Now that you thought you'd got him down, so far down that you could sit your ass on him and he couldn't move, then you finally make up your mind to get married.
Married. Dear friend, he seems to know you only too well.
Married.
Where are you? Lost in the vastness of Russia, at the door of an empty old warehouse, among the wreckage of your display cases, your wares torn apart, just standing there. Why did you have to go so far away?
I said, listen to me. Married. 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 Because she lifted her skirts up like this, huh? Look what you can see. The travel. Look what you can see, Georgie. The scar on my thigh from the war. Look, Georgie. Peek-a-boo. All for you. And in order to get it, you disgraced your mother's memory. Yes, you betrayed your friend. And stuck your father into bed so that he can't move. But he can move, he can move. He can move. He can stick his legs out like this.
What are you doing?
Look at you. Hiding in a corner. Think somebody's going to jump you? Scared of your papa, Georgie? Your friend hasn't been betrayed after all. I've been representing him right here, all the while.
You comedian!
No, I didn't mean that.
You're right. A comedian. Don't apologize. Of course I've been playing a comedy. A comedy. That's the right word for it. And can you tell me what other comfort was left to a poor old widower? Remember who you are while you're answering. Well, tell me, what else was there left? In my back room, plagued by a disloyal staff? Old, to the marrow of my bones. And you, my son, strutting through the world. Polishing off business deals that I had prepared for you. Triumphant. And now bounding away from your father. Trying to look like a real big shot. Do you think I don't love you? My own flesh and blood.
If he leans forward now, he'll fall over and smash himself. I should help him.
No, you stay where you are. Stay where you are. I don't need you. Got strength enough to help me. Don't be too sure. I'm still stronger than you are. I wouldn't be. It's true, if it wasn't for your mother. If it wasn't for her, I'd have to give in. But she's given me so much of her strength that I've made a good connection with that friend of yours. And your customers. Your customers. I have all of them, all of your customers, right here in my pocket.
His pocket. Oh, he has pockets even in his nightshirt. What a silly figure he'd make before anyone. I keep forgetting what's going on.
Buy some time with your wife and your aunt. Just come by with her sometime. I'll take her away from you. I'll take her away from you before you know what's going on. Ah, you don't believe me. You don't believe me. Well, try it. Try it. Just bring her around. Oh. Did you give me a laugh today? Father, dear, should I tell my friend about my engagement? You idiot! He knows all about it. I wrote to him. I've been writing to him. You forgot to take my pencil away from me, Georgie. God, what an idiot for a son. Do you know why he hasn't been here for years? Do you know why? He knows the whole thing far better than you do. With one hand, he crumples your letters without opening them. And in the other hand, he reads mine. Idiot. He knows everything 1,000 times better than you do.
Yes. Sure. 5,000 times. 10,000 times.
10,000 times.
For years I've been waiting for you to come to me with such a question. Maybe you think I care about anything else. Maybe you think I bother about reading the newspaper. What a long time it's taken for you to grow up. Your mother had to die. She couldn't be here for the happy day. Your friend being destroyed in Russia. And as for me, well, you can see the state I'm in. You're not so blind you can't see that.
So all this time, you've been waiting to spring on me.
Oh, I suppose you've been waiting all this while just to say that. Well, now it doesn't matter. So now you know what else there was in the world besides yourself. Innocent. An innocent child. Yes, that's what you've been. True enough. But even more true, you've been a mockery of a human being. And so now pay attention to the judgment. I sentence you to death. I sentence you to death. By drowning! By drowning!
But I was drawn out of the room. To the stairs. They went down like a slide. There was the charwoman on her way up for the morning cleaning.
Well, Jesus Christ!
But I couldn't stop. Out the door. Across the road to the water. The bridge. The river below. The railings. Over in a leap like I used to in the gym. I'd once been a fine gymnast. My mother and father were real proud of me. Oh. Can't hang on here forever. Grip is weakening. Oh, there's a bus coming. That'll do it. Dear mother and father, I've loved you, nevertheless. I've always loved you, nevertheless.
Judgment by Franz Kafka. Adapted and produced by Eric Bauersfeld. Technical production by John Whiting. Don LePage was heard as George, Pat Franklin as Frida, Bernard Mays as the friend, and Eric Bauersfeld as the father. Special technical production for this program was by Jim McKee. Well, that's all for now. Come and visit our archives again for another tale from the shadows. Real soon.